Welcome to Laid Back with LJ and Tully, where former WNBA and Australian superstars Lauren Jackson and Tully Bevilacqua sit back and reminisce about their good old days in women's basketball, joined by special guests. Now on this episode, it was a meeting of some former Seattle Storm teammates and coaches. Two-time WNBA champion Cherie Sam joined Lauren and Tully from San Francisco. Former WNBA player and coach and current assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks, Jenny Busick, jumped in to offer some laughter. And head coach of the Phoenix Mercury and Australian Opals, Sandy Brondello, joined us to offer some insight on the current WNBA season and the upcoming Olympic Games in Tokyo. Now, you might hear us say Laz a few times. That, of course, is the nickname for the legend herself, Lauren Jackson.
Laz and I wanted to catch up and reunite with some old friends of ours, obviously share a few stories, talk about some hoops, and pretty much just continue to tell the stories of the WNBA's past players. To say we had a few laughs is a total understatement, so mateys, grab a drink like we did and join us for some laid-back vibes and lots of laughter. Cheers.
Hello.
How are you going?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Oh, my God. Glass of red in hand, bodysuit.
Matey, it's back. The bodysuit is back. I brought it out. Although this is kind of like a little vintage now. I don't know if you can see, but let me show you my booby area. It's all coming off now. So it's like vintage like me now.
Ah, right. So you've worn it quite a fair bit.
Well,
she wears it just every Friday, Saturday evening.
Got to live the old glory days every now and then.
Very good.
No, I have not, just so you know. I have not. It only comes out every now and then.
Oh, I don't care. I'd be over there with you wearing it. I don't even know where mine are. They're all, because we had to move, so everything was packed away, and I just haven't had time to get it all unpacked. So.
Fancy, it's good to see you, matey.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
When's the last time you and I have actually been in a room, like physically together? I think my memory is like 2012.
Oh, shit, I can't remember.
I know.
My brain is gone.
And have you guys seen each other like visually since then?
Yeah, I remember I got really drunk with one of my friends and we called you. I don't know what time it was. I don't remember the dialogue. And that must have been when, like 2014 maybe or 15?
Yeah.
Tully's like, yeah. But, keep that.
But so this is kind of like, this is how I see our relationship, and you can call bullshit, whatever you want, whatever. So it's funny, like we haven't seen each other for a while on that, but Laz out of the blue about a month ago. I was sitting here just chilling, doing some stuff, and Laz Instagrammed, and you know, the FaceTime on the Instagram, and we have this, I feel like we have this unique relationship with that. And you said something in our conversation that made me tear up, but I didn't want to tell you at the time because, you know, I didn't want to be too sooky or anything like that. But you said something like, you know, people come in and out of your life and stuff, but there are some people that's supposed to stay in your life. And that's how we are, I feel like.
Yeah, so, I feel like too.
When you called and I saw your name and it had been like forever, it was like, you know, and we just picked up like it was yesterday. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, like life is so funny because you have ebbs and flows and, you know, it's a roller coaster, right? But I think the people that, yeah, are meant to last, they do. And, you know, those relationships are enduring for sure. So,
especially when you think of how many teams, you know, you've played with.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, where did you guys kind of form that? Was it playing for Australia or for Seattle?
No, I think it was Seattle. I think because I was really young. And Tal, when she came to Seattle, we were all really young. And, I don't know, the Aussie pub was there, and then we just formed a friendship out of it. Like we just, I guess when you're young, you don't really think too deeply about things. Well, I didn't. And Tully and I just connected, like we just became best mates. And you know, we played with Canberra together. So we lived together in Canberra and went through like a whole lot of different like life stages together, I think. I feel like we went through a whole lot of stuff. And then, yeah, we just sort of, I guess life took over. And
so life happens and, you know. We all got pretty busy and we wanted to sort out our own stuff and that. But
right. You're half a world apart. You both have kids. Like,
I've been trying to come home too, just so you know, I have been trying to come home and coming to visit you is on the list. But apparently the Australian Open didn't accept my singles application to go back because that was the only way apparently you could go back last year during the pandemic was to play tennis. So they didn't accept that and they didn't accept the fact I was playing doubles with Serena. So
I knew you were only into doubles, so they weren't gonna take that singles application.
I mean, I did have a resume of when I was 16 of, you know, winning some doubles titles and stuff like that. Apparently didn't fly. But hopefully next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the plan. I don't know when Australia's gonna open up their borders, but I will come and see you next year for sure. Did you watch the draft back
in Australia? I did. It's the first draft I've watched in probably since I was in the draft.
Former number one. I has been number one.
Has been. Being the operative word there. I did take a little bit of notice. And why did I take a bit of notice? Oh well, the young girl from Finland, Awok. I think she's going to be an incredible athlete, and I think I was just really intrigued to see where she would go. And then obviously with Adia doing as well as she did, I've really followed Arizona and the NCAA, and I've never, ever, ever followed the NCAA ever. So, you know, I think that was really cool. And then seeing the athlete through that, I just wanted to see how the draft went. So,
well, that's kind of like how this all came about as well, was the three of us like just
like tweeting,
tweeting through all that. I mean, I like yourself, like this was the first year where I think I watched nearly every game of the women's tournament. And Shady, I mean, we call her Shady. Her nickname is Shady Towers.
Adia.
For our inner reasons.
I thought she was Adia the Bird Barnes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, she sent her love.
hey, babe. Yeah. And that's totally her.
I mean, but how awesome though, like, and the fact I'm glad she did not apologize for that too, because seriously, that was just something they didn't even have to bring up in the media. But yeah, it was awesome. Like, that's some of the best basketball that I've seen in college, like watching some of the college games. It was awesome. I cried when Adia's team lost. I was like bawling. We invested ourselves in her team.
Well, you both had been, Tully, you were following along for your tweets all season long. And Lauren, I saw like last year something you had posted, some gear and some Arizona gear. So you guys have both been like supporting from the beginning. So how crazy is that? Like all the way to the end there.
Well, you want to see your mates succeed, you know, and I feel like Adia, for us, well, I know for Tully as well, like she's just been, you know, a rock for the both of us and someone that we both love a lot. She's such a genuine human and so cool. And I'm, like I said to you before, I'm just really happy that she, that people got the opportunity to see her personality and see how cool she is. Like, she's just such a great human and so proud of her.
No, I think that's something that you guys, like the WNBA didn't necessarily have that. Like, I don't feel that there was, you know, the personality showcase. I feel like with the rise of social media, you know, there was kind of that gap in the WNBA where, you know, maybe young kids or girls or, you know, even like the dudes on Twitter that are out there kind of spewing whatever, they weren't able to see the personalities as much of you all. And Adia, Tully especially, you know, but I think that that's something that's really cool from the perspective now to see people getting to see that personality. And
well, we were young, you know, we got up to some mischief, there's no doubt about it. But yeah, we were young and we just lived it.
Which is probably a good thing that there wasn't a lot of social media kind of going on back then.
Really good thing, yep.
you didn't have to kind of worry about that to a certain extent.
Yeah, people had like little throwaway cameras or something in the...
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it, Loz, you stood out, you know, obviously just, you know, with your stature and stuff, and people in Seattle knew who you were. Like, That's, and so could you imagine if, you know, obviously now everything was, as soon as you stepped out, like everything's getting recorded, or you're out and about, you're having fun, everything's getting recorded, or something, you know, it's a different world now. You really got to watch yourself.
Yeah. But the athletes nowadays have definitely got different challenges than what we had. We, you know, I feel like we were kind of lucky in that sense that we didn't have to, you know, we could do what we wanted really. And I think there was one year, like in 2005 or 2006, someone from the Seattle PI wrote an article about me partying too much. I remember that. And I was really upset about it. And, but yeah, and I mean, Anne obviously was really not happy about it. And yeah, that was a bit disastrous, but I'll never ever forget that, because that was one time where, you know, I was blasted for going out night clubbing. But, you know, in comparison to some of these other athletes, I feel like we were pretty tame.
Yeah. And like, I got to say, like, our practices were on point. Like, we competed at practice. I can't think of any time where anything was from the outside was affected us, you know, either on the court, training, or playing games. Like, that was the fun of it.
This was before preseason began. So this article is written. Because I'd had to go over early. I went over early because I think I'd had an injury or something, and I was in Seattle from March through to, you know, May or something. And yeah, this was written then. So, I mean, not that it would matter. Aussie club definitely got a bit of a workout during the season. So it's not like, you know, but, well, yeah. And talking about competing, I remember my first year, and I often tell this story a few times, but with Lynn Dunn as our coach, I, you know, we got drafted in 2001, and then going over into training camp, and Lynn Dunn is like, she has this drill where it's just basketball. You just, there's no boundaries, no foul calls, no nothing. And it's like, just go out there and get that ball and get in the hoop. Like, you do whatever you have to do to get the ball in the hoop. So, no, you know, and I was just like, this is it. I'm never coming back to training camp ever again, because it was absolutely a disaster. And I need structure. So that was really talking about, and I mean, look, there were elbows flying, there were balls flying everywhere. People were, you know, like, girls would do anything to get on that squad, you know. And yeah, it was full on. But yeah, you're right. We trained our butts off back then.
You can hear her voice though. It's still kind of in the back of your head. I don't know what she called you, but I, you know, I'm gonna guess this. I'm Lauren Jackson.
Lauren Jackson.
But that's the difference, like with Australians, I reckon, because when I tried out, when I came back and I tried out for a couple of different clubs to get back in 2000, I went to Miami first, and it was like this, everyone could just pay $50 and go in and try out, you know, for the Miami Soul team, for that, you know, that inauguration year, right? And so, like, you had like 300 people showing up, but it was all like street ball. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, I just wasted an air flight to come here, because street ball is not my thing. Because like you, it's like, we need structure, because that's how we grew up playing and learning and the systems we were in. Oh, let me tell you, Loz, so when we lived together, Loz made the best roast pork meals. Remember you did roast pork? Oh my God. Like, yeah, we had some good times in that, but I always remember you cooking the roast pork meals. That was really awesome.
Yeah. I still do that once a week. That's April.
Yeah.
Pork belly.
Get that crackling going. Yeah.
Yeah. Jackson's do is eat very well. So that's been an interesting part of retirement, is having to figure out how I lose the 40 kilos I put on after I had children, which has been a nightmare, let me tell you.
Well, it's different when you got to do it like as your job, and then you retire, and then it's like, you don't have to go and work out today, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have tomorrow, kids, so I don't have an excuse for those extra 40 kilos.
I'm kind of claiming my second as mine, but, you know,
all good.
Technically, no, I did not have kids either.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Tully tried to get me to show up with this thing on. I was like, with those like weapons that you have on your shoulders, like I would ever wear. Like, yeah, absolutely nuts.
People been asking me about getting bodysuits and that. Australia seemed to, they should put them on the market now to sell them. People are like intrigued about them now. I hear they're playing vintage, us old ones that used to wear them, the new group, this Olympics.
Are you joking? You remember I'm very literal. So like.
I know. I'm just reading that they are bringing back the bodysuits. They're like.
They apparently, yes, that's, I think yes. It was announced by the Olympic, the uniform was shown and it was bodysuit.
So wait, that's really happening? That's really happening? You guys are, the bodysuits are back. I mean, they're iconic, but absolutely, I cannot imagine wearing that.
Yeah,
I didn't. Going to the bathroom at halftime?
Well, that's what I was about to say. The one thing I hated about them, if you had a bathroom routine, it sucked. Like, especially once the game had progressed and you're all sweaty and stuff, like that was the thing I hated the most about them. I didn't, once the game was on and you played, like you didn't really think about it, but that was to me the biggest problem, is like I'm doing this little strip here and shimmying out of it to go to the bathroom and then trying to shimmy it back up like a bathing suit when it's all wet and stuff was
I don't know. Do you remember my Nancy Gans G-string? Do you remember that?
Say it again.
My Nancy Gans G-string. So every time I put on a little bit of kilos, I would go and get these Nancy Gans G-strings. So it was like basically I was wearing a corset under my bodysuit because I just didn't want people, like, because I was self-conscious about my body, you know. And, God, when we went back to shorts and singlets, that's the one thing I was so happy about. I was like, damn, I don't have to wear that Nancy Gans anymore or a G-string for the rest of my life.
Well, I think on that note, it's time to bring in a guest here.
Now, hopping into the call is Cherie Sam, a former All-Star, 10-year vet, and two-time WNBA champion. She was a teammate of Laz and Tully during their 2004 championship with the Seattle Storm. She now serves as the managing director of the Northern California PGA Foundation. And as you'll learn, Riri, as they call her, is very, very funny.
Hi, long time no speak. Ray and I actually
it's been like forever. Reconnected.
Not too long ago.
This is our crew. We're only missing two of the crew, and Adia couldn't make it. She wanted to, but she's at USA Basketball. But we've already established that she has sent her message to us.
what do you have on, TT?
Oh, you like it? Look, can you
remember that? Are you wearing wearing the whole onesie?
Yeah,
she always looks good in them. So she, you know, I understand why you would want to wear that thing down the street. You probably wear it to bed too, don't you, Cal? I would too if I had your little body, of course.
No, look, my bubble butt like stuck out too much at this. But no. I just brought it out for Lars, you know.
Hell no.
Jose is a long gone. No way.
Yeah.
Cool.
But Riri, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I mean, I'm living life. I'm in the city, SF, working. I actually just started a new position.
That would be San Francisco to anybody that does not know what SF stands for, that, you know, tuning in.
Yeah, I saw that you just started a new job as the managing director of the Northern California PGA Foundation.
That is correct. Thank you. Thanks. It's been fun. It's been a blast. You know, the PGA, you know, they have a commitment to diversity and inclusiveness. And the communities like mine, where golf, it's not, there's no access. So that's part of that intrigued me with that position, and went through the process and started in October. We do a lot of work with veterans also, disabled veterans, you know, suffering from PTSD, isolation, and, you know, various other things. So we also do a lot of work with veterans. So I'm excited about that. And then learning the game of golf. It's a challenging game. Any of you play golf?
That's awesome.
I play golf. Yeah.
Like, do you play like you good?
I played in college. I'm like average now. So I'd rather just go out and like on the driving range, because I don't have the patience for 18 holes of golf. Like, who needs to do anything for 4 hours? Unless there's a lot of beer involved, in which case then I'm there, I'm sold.
Well, didn't I go play golf laws with Karen Bright and them back from Australia? Remember when they came out? Yeah. Anne and
Carl's a little golfer. You go to the driving range and have a hit.
When Anne came out and visited, well, they were visiting you. I was just there. I mean,
oh, come on.
They were there to sign you.
You're actually the personality in this crew. No, not me. You.
No. No. So that was happening.
No. Go ahead. I want to hear. No, I want to hear the story. Go ahead.
No, they were in Australia to talk to re-sign laws and stuff. And at the same time, I was getting calls from Indiana, and unbeknownst to them, because they weren't really worried about me. So I was talking to Indiana at the time. But it was fun.
Nice. So cool. Yeah. So when you golf, when you ever in San Francisco, we should golf.
I'm there.
Cheers. Yeah. My game. Tally, I'm learning.
I'm off for a road trip. Loz, it's really sad. Like, you're not coming over, are you, for your ceremony, for your induction, your maybe
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Hall of Fame induction.
Congratulations, too.
Yeah.
I'm only a finalist, so who knows how that's going to play out. But the Women's Hall of Fame.
Okay, can we just say how freaking awesome that is? Can we just like raise a glass?
Raise a glass to the Naismith Hall of Fame.
Cheers, mate. That's freaking awesome.
I mean, I knew it. Like, it's not like we didn't know it. I mean, you were great.
Loz, you have like a 20-page resume.
What about something else?
You deserve it. Like, that's all I gotta say. It's like, you deserve it.
Well, I had great teammates around me. Yeah. You know, I was always in a great situation, you know, beautiful people that made my career a lot of fun over there. So, you know,
that 2014 though, like, even like take the championship out of the equation though, like that was special in itself without the championship added onto it, like the connections we all formed. Sheree, I know you and I had met, we'd played together in Indiana before that. I mean, after. Too many of these. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But like, that was such a special year. Like,
it really was.
That was freaking awesome.
Like, it was so unexpected, right? Mm. Like, no one expected us to win.
No.
That year. So that's what made it even more special. I mean, we only had been together for a few months, literally.
But I don't know why. I thought we still had a decent team on paper. Like, that was a stupid thing.
I mean, I'm not saying they were right about it.
They didn't have us like up there, which to me was crazy because we had such good pieces of the puzzle all together.
And L, you had like a ball out year that year too.
No, wasn't one of my better years. But it's a team. It's about everybody on the team, and we just had such a great crew, and you know, our connection was awesome. And I don't think I've ever been on another team where we hung out. Well, maybe 2010 we were pretty close, but you know, 2004 we literally after every game hung out. All of us.
Remember the rooftop barbecues, the barbies up on the rooftop.
Nights at the Kiwi King. What is it? Kangaroo?
Kangaroo and Kiwi. We've already talked about that, but we can talk about it again.
Well, yeah, let's
see. My meat pies.
That was like our home, Loz. Our second other home away from home. Brad.
So the meat pies, like how about now? A lot of the athletes are all vegans and things like that. They wouldn't be able to eat those meat pies.
Look,
TT, are you vegan?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of like vegetarian. I did go vegan, but now I've kind of slipped back a bit, and I'm kind of slipping, and I'm slipping back in.
She's like, these chicken wings are so good.
If I went to Kangaroo and Kiwi now, don't worry, I would like throw one of those down my throat so quickly. But Loz, remember that time where I was at your apartment, and I don't know, maybe we we had something on and we couldn't get there, or we just couldn't get there. And you had Brad put meat pies in the taxi.
Oh, that was after that's after we won the championship. So I remember we had about 5 days of celebrating at my apartment. So all of us were there, and we called Brad and got him to make a special delivery of Tim Tams.
These meat pies and Tim Tams arrived in a taxi to your door.
He was so good. Yeah. Shout out,
great
Brad.
Times. Right, Brad, sushi place. What was the sushi place we used to go
to? That's right. What was that place? On 2nd Avenue, right?
Yes. Oh, come on. We used to go out of time. Wasabi's.
And now Indian restaurant with the mango chicken.
Indian was good.
That was the go-to. Just to walk there. Mm-hmm. Wow. Good old times.
But Riri, we were talking earlier, like in our times playing and stuff, like the social media side of things hadn't really kicked in. So people don't know a lot about our stories and stuff like that because they didn't see it through social media. Like our stories are all through now word of mouth and our storytelling, which is really cool why we're getting all together. Because people don't hear our stories, or they don't know about the stuff that happened behind the scenes with all of us. And yeah, it's just really cool to all get together and chat about it because, it's a different world now.
It totally is. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse. And so, no, but it is true. It is different. But that's why we have this, right? To tell our story.
What about the time mechanics? I'm sorry, but I'm going to bring this up again. When she got off the bus gate.
Yeah, you laughed. That was
Phoenix. We're talking Phoenix. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about Houston, and then we can talk about a lot of.
Okay. Phoenix, you
I had your back. I had your back.
Yeah, you
and
did.
The thing is, like, they were already all on the bus when I got on the bus. They were all in the back sitting down, like I'm walking to the back, and I could see Adia's face and Tully, and they're like, and Sue, and they're like, where's Elle? Like, she's in her room. I was like, you guys, I'm like, get her, call her. No.
We tried to call and stuff, like, but we weren't getting
on the bus. I was gone out the night before, and I was gone. Like, my alarm was not on.
Okay, I guess so. Here's the thing. For those of you listening, you don't really know the story. We're talking like another story. So we're in Phoenix. We played the night before. Whatever happens, go out to dinner. Elle had too many wines, I suppose, and was about to miss the bus. The bus was going to leave her. And so I knew I was running late. So I get on the bus. I'm like one of the last persons getting on the bus. Everybody's on the bus. And as I get to the back to our seats, I remember TT, you were first, or Dia, you were right, left. So it was all our little crew in the back. So I get to my seat and they're like, where's Elle? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, we figure out she's in her room. And it comes to the point, like, do you need help? Nobody's going to get off the bus to go help her. So I say, I'll go. So I'm just thinking I'm going to go help a teammate, because here's the prerequisite is in Miami. When I played in Miami, if a teammate was late, Coach Rothstein always sent another teammate off to make sure they're okay. So I guess I was in that mindset. So I'm walking to the front of the bus, just thinking I'm going to go help Elle. We'll meet you at the airport. So I get to the front of the bus and Coach Donovan and says, not a good move, Cherie.
Now, she wanted to leave me behind. She was like, I am teaching that girl a lesson.
She was just like, not a good move. I was like, Elle's like, she needs help. I'm just going to help her. We're going to meet you. Not a good move. So the bus driver, the door's not open. And like, I'm sitting there trying to tell Anne, it's a good thing if I go. And Anne's just like, not a good move. And I was like, well, I'm going to go. I was like, could you open the door? And I just walked into my grave, so to speak, when I got off that bus. So you guys fill in the story from there, because I got off the bus.
In my defense, I was not on a guaranteed contract.
Now joining the call is Jenny Busick. Now Jenny is currently an assistant coach for the NBA's Dallas Mavericks. But Jenny was also an assistant coach during Lauren, Tully, and Cherie's 2004 championship season in Seattle. J-Boo, as they call her, had some stories to tell.
Boom.
What's up?
Jenny!
There's all my girls!
Boo-boo!
What's going on? Good to see you.
We're just telling a story from 2004, how Cherie got off the bus in Phoenix to help me when I was sitting late and you guys left her. Uh-huh. So do you want to talk about the coach's perspective?
We're all on the bus, like, shit, Lauren's not here. Shit, Lauren's not here. And then right as we're about to leave, we hear this voice from the back. Wait, hold the bus, hold the bus. And it was like the hero from the back. Oh, and everyone on the bus was like, Cherie, don't do it. Cherie, don't do it. And there she goes. Is she really doing this? Are you really getting off the bus? And I'm looking at her, you know, with my big blue friend eyes, who's known her for 15 years, like, Cherie, sit your ass down. But she wasn't here.
I think Adira and I were like, Cherie, you go.
Yeah, of course you were. You two are up the back going, oh, she's going to get in trouble.
No guaranteed contract. That's all I can say. Jenny Boo, do you remember the Houston trip where...
Hello.
Laz and I got
I remember
food poisoning.
So which Houston trip? You guys got food poisoning?
Yeah, we did. We got food poisoning on the soup.
We drank too much red wine.
God, no.
And we got sick. So, and you called Anne Marie Hinkle.
No, I did not. Adia did. Remember? Adia was trainer on you and I.
Did Adia rat or she was taking care of you?
She thought she was taking care of us, but she was kind of ratted. Remember you and I?
Cherie was there. I remember you being there.
I was there?
Yeah, you were
with me. Was I sick too?
Well, it was you, me, Adia, and Tully. So we got back to our room and both of us have drank so much Greg Norman red wine.
Greg Norman, yeah.
Oh, I remember the Greg Norman. Yeah.
I don't think we drank that much. I just think the red wine was not.
Yeah, I think the wine was off. But you remember the next day, Jenny Boo, I don't know if you remember, like we said we must have had the same soup and so we got food poisoning.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But yeah. You guys were sick. You played though, right? Because I know you played sick, right? I don't remember you sitting out.
No, I remember she wanted to call the ambulance, and I was like, oh, God, this is going to be bad. This is going to be really bad.
Clearly, yeah. I drank too much because I don't remember. Like, I vaguely remember. I remember the wine before I ingested it, but I'm not remembering all this other stuff.
It was the same night you spilled the wine on Sue's bag.
I remember that. Sue was what so did she pissed. Do?
She spilled the wine on Sue's bag.
I spilled red wine on her bag, and oh my god, she was. I think I apologized the whole night.
You guys were still fighting about it in Phoenix.
Yeah, I remember.
But anyway, Jenny Boo, we came back on track. Jenny Boo, it looks like you have not done much since you finished with the Seattle Storm.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about? How many times I've gotten fired since I coached you guys?
Oh my god, you're in fine form today.
Hey, that's a good thing though. That's a good thing, right? Just get hired to get fired. That's the way of the NBA.
Hired to be fired, right?
Yeah, we've all been, except Lauren.
Oh no, I think I've been fired. Have I? I think so.
You haven't been fired.
Once or twice. No, I haven't been fired.
You have not been fired.
There's no way you were fired.
You haven't been cut.
No, not fired? Cut, not traded, not fired. Mm. Everybody was fighting for you.
Riri and I are in that same club, and Jenny Boo, aren't we? I know.
We're in a cloud.
We're in our own little club there.
Look, we got to spread our seed, though.
No, I mean, even Jay Boo's on the level above me, too, now. She's doing she's assistant coach in the NBA right now. That's like very few women doing that. So you and LJ on clouds up here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not even going to pretend I'm on y'all's two levels.
Yes, you are. My God.
You guys did what like 0.01% of the world population does. It's play professional basketball. Like, that's absolutely insane. I don't think that you realize it. Tully doesn't realize it. Like, it's epic.
I don't know. Tully's in her onesie.
You really won the championship though in 2004. The year we won in 2004 was the first all-female coaching staff to win.
Ever.
I never knew that.
Ever.
No.
Shout out to Jesse Kinlaw.
Has anybody talked to Jesse? Lauren, do you ever talk to Jesse?
No. Yeah, no. I spoke to her actually. It was right after Anne passed away. So I spoke to Jess then, which was really lovely.
Cheers, Anne.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I was just going to pour some out for Anne because you know what? She did give me that opportunity and I love her to death.
The 2004 team got split up. Like, I don't know what happened.
Let's talk about that, though. Seriously. Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, let's talk about that.
Because you look at that team that we had, that gelled within like 3 months. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 months got together, gel with the Olympic year, came back and peaked. I thought for sure we could have been. Sacramento won it the next year. Like, come on. No disrespect. Love you, yo. Tan, Ruthie, Tisha, all you guys. Big ups. Yeah. But had our team still been intact, there's no way we weren't going to win the West.
No, we would have been like a Houston dynasty, I reckon. Laura's, please tell me what happened to my black boots. Can you tell me what happened and who did it and who stole my black boots back in 2000? And I think that might have been 2003. That was one.
Look, like, I vaguely remember this. Now, I wouldn't have thought about this for 20 years.
Idea?
18 years.
He has lived with me all this time because, one, you cows did not replace them with any other shoe. Like, you literally stole my black boots and they were gone. I didn't have anything to walk out the friggin' stadium with afterwards.
I'm going to need some history. Where were you? Why were your boots off your feet?
I've heard so much about these black boots. So much.
I'm just a country bumpkin, bushy girl from the, I'm from the bush. And, I have my style, right? And apparently this style wasn't appreciated by my teammates.
Is it because it was a fashion? No, they took the
boots. Oh, they were shocking. They we need to get not. A photo of them. No, I remember.
They had these big chunky heels. Like, they were my faves. Like,
bullies. They were bullies.
But they stole my shoes.
I would think it was probably Adia and Sue.
Yeah, like, I'm still mad about that. Still mad.
Are you sure it wasn't Sun?
So this is how, I think they really didn't like my style, because Kamila Vidichkova, the European of all people, took me shopping to go and buy jeans. And I hate shopping at the best of times, but going with Kamila did my head in. In the end, I went and bought some men's jeans. And then Adia, we were going through LA one year and it got shut down and we all had to end up outside, sitting on the curb and everything for a few hours. And Adia was trying to teach me how to hold a purse, properly. Yeah, it is. You guys kind of discard me in some areas.
Why was she trying to teach you? I'm so lost right now. Why was she trying to teach you how to hold a purse?
Because clearly I did not know.
She was doing the etiquette thing
because apparently my backpack was not good enough. And so she was teaching me up and down this while everybody outside is waiting to let you back in the airport, how to hold a purse.
No, we did. I do vaguely remember something happening to those boots. And laughing a lot about it, but I have not thought about it in 18 years. And I've totally forgotten, but I've texted Sue. Doesn't look like she's online.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Actually, I did. I got an LOL.
Sue did not get invited today because she is not a has-been, just so you know.
Oh, she's still very much so.
She still is.
I know.
She was so young. Sue was on her second year. It was her second year.
Sue's now on another stratosphere.
Second year in the league, right? When we won it. She was like our second year, right?
Yep. Or third, maybe. So 2002, 3, 2004.
She didn't really even talk in huddles much.
No, Sue was old.
To see her advance now, to see her lead the huddles and her leadership.
Off the court too. It's all Sue now being so vocal off the court too, which is crazy because
right. She had such great leadership off the court when we were there in 2004. That's what gave her her foundation.
But she didn't have that vocal.
Joke.
But she was quiet. Yeah. She just did her business, but it wasn't from the mouth kind of thing.
Right. I mean, Janet, just as a coach and her, like, you know, like she's told, I mean, she wasn't the vet she is now, right? She was really young. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, we knew, like, we were there with you guys, our coaching staff, starting in 2003. And Lauren, I think it was your second year or third year, 2003.
So 2001, 2003, third year.
Your third year, Sue's second year. It was Sue's second year when we first got there. And we knew right away, like, we needed to bring in some, like, veterans that could be the voice in the locker room so Sue and Lauren could just be big kids and play, you know, and not have to worry about the pressure of leadership. Because our first year, Ann kept putting a lot of pressure on Sue to be the leader, and Sue's not ready. She didn't want to. She just wanted to play. So that was a big reason why we got you, Sheree. That was a big reason why we made that trade.
You were a great leader.
Thank you.
So we were looking for
team player.
That hungry vet who had the numbers but was just looking for a ring. You know, we thought you fit that demo.
But yeah, you did it in a really, like you weren't like raw in your face. Like, you did it in a different way that was like, you know, you grabbed everyone's attention, and it was like the eye contact with you. And that, you know.
And it was the example. Like, Sheree at that stage of her career was all about getting that ring. Like, you remember when we went down to Sacramento and we'd never won in Sacramento before? The whole franchise.
Oh my God, I've got another story. I have another story. Sacramento, Tommy.
I have a Sacramento story too.
No.
What's Sacramento? No. I want to hear it.
No.
Wait, what happened, Tully? You're so just. Why are you so anti-TT?
I know where she's going with this.
I don't. Hit
on by a dog.
I don't know which Sacramento story she's going on, but I remember the first time we lost down there, and Ann would not let us get on the bus with the team because she was so mad at the players. So we had to call a taxi. And we were out in the middle of that farmland, you know, where there was nothing. And so we waited so long, and she's cussing us out every 2 seconds. Where's the taxi? Where's the taxi? And that was the night she had chased the referee around the court after the game. And then she was mad at me and Jesse because we didn't hold her back. But yeah, we were scared to hold her back. So then we're waiting for this taxi, and an hour goes by, and finally the bus leaves, and we're outside in the middle of a field, and we watch the bus drive by, and we still didn't have a taxi. And Jesse and I were getting cussed out. Oh my, because she was so mad at y'all. She didn't want to be on the bus with you.
Yeah. I'm glad to know you. Why didn't you tell me this before I verbal? I don't remember us having these conversations.
There was some, there were a few times. There was a lot of times. There was a little
so
bit.
What's the sack story you got to tell? Because I remember that game. Like, I remember.
I was dating that guy.
Adia was dating a footballer.
In Sacramento, and we went there. So we won our first game ever at Arco Arena in 2004, and we went to the boyfriend's house after the game while we were waiting for the plane that night. So I think it was an early game. Anyway, he had these great big dogs. I don't even remember what sort of dogs they were.
They were huge.
Yeah, so we're in the spa, and then, you know, we got out of the spa and we're all sitting around outside doing stuff. I don't know. We were sitting there chatting, talking, whatever. And this bloody dog walked up, lifted its leg and peed on Tully. And then anyway, so, you know, we washed the coat, we had a bit of time.
I changed.
You know, put it in the dryer, got it dry. We're outside sitting around again, and the dog walked back up to her and peed on her again. Twice.
I remember that.
But you know what? I got in trouble.
I remember.
I got in trouble for using the display towels in the bathroom to clean myself up.
By Adia? Did Adia yell at you?
Mm-hmm. I never. Yeah. I'm like,
that was fun.
A dog just peed on me twice.
We had fun. Dog. That was a fun afternoon.
A big, big dog.
Yeah.
I mean, fun for everyone but you, TT, but that was a really fun afternoon.
That was a really fun afternoon. And then we had to get on that plane.
It was, okay, Jenny Boo, this is a story I like. This reminds me about you. So, you know, like, you would do you would give a little prayer, a little talk before the games, right? In Seattle, and there was this one story that stuck out in my mind that you gave that, and I apologize, and I've never apologized, I haven't had the chance to apologize to you for Lauren and I and our behavior in these little huddles that we would have.
I apologize.
You guys will laugh.
I apologize for how we behaved. Anyway, yeah, well, I say that, but yeah, it was fun though. You and I were stupid. You and I were stupid, Loz.
You're being facetious. You should apologize for jokingly apologizing.
I apologize for jokingly apologizing to you for apologizing for what we did. Yeah. Anyway, remember when Anne's cat, Romeo,
fell out of
the yeah. But we didn't know. So we're getting ready for this basketball game, and you start talking about Romeo, and we're all looking at each other, you know, WTF, who is Romeo? Like, who is Romeo? And you're talking, it was a story about Anne's cat who fell out 9 floors or whatever from the
19.
Ooh. Oh my
that
god,
cat fell out of her apartment. About that.
Was that 03 or 04?
That was 04.
TT, you remember that stretch playing after the Olympics without Sue and without Lauren?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we lost like 6 or 9 games going into the playoffs. Gosh.
Yeah, but you remember, like, so we had the Olympic rate, right? So Adia and I shooted off to Maui for our we were in Spain. We went and spent a week in Maui and we came back. And the first thing Jesse Kendall says to us was like, you two look like you've had a good time. So we had we probably gained about 10 pounds in a week. So we had to work that off during the rest of that like Olympic period break. And then, you know, probably kind of wrap that into those next few games. That started out after the Olympic break, but
yeah, it was rough. I mean, thank you, Anne. Like, she let me go to Athens because at the time, like, PB was playing, I was her guest. I was so thankful to be able to go and experience it. But again, I don't know if it was a gift or a curse. When I got back, I'll never forget because our plane had got delayed. It was me, Anne, and Sue traveling back. Once the whole team flew back from Athens, when we got to the, you know, we were all on the same connecting flight to Seattle, and our flight was delayed. And there was a lot of stuff. And I remember driving, we had to drive in the car. And I remember they were about to drop me off. And Anne was like, you better be ready to practice tomorrow. Sue, you don't have to come in, but Cherie, you better be ready to practice tomorrow. And I'm just like, I'll be ready. Like, you know, cause it was like, I went, but yeah, it was hell coming back, especially losing. Oh, I hated it.
Oh my God.
It's like nothing was going right.
I totally forgot we'd lost so many games after that break. I was pissed anyway because I got cut from the Australian team, so I didn't make that Olympics.
I didn't know that.
Sorry, I know, so I was getting over the depression of that. But anyway, but it was really after those 6 games, then it was like something just—it was like a switch was flipped, you know, and the game that I remember the most was against Sacramento in the, I think, our semis. And Loz, you like
the 6-3s.
The 6-3s that, like, it was such a fun game. Like, it was such a fun game to watch, like, on plane, on the court. Like, it was so much fun. But you were nailing 3s from every position on the court. They couldn't stop you. Like, it was like, just
boom, trailing.
Yeah. That game was like up there.
That was crazy. And the crowd was going like crazy loud.
Yeah.
Like, they were so loud. I remember I was guarding Tisha on the sideline in one play. And I guess the ref had blew the whistle and neither one of us heard it. I'm still guarding. Yeah. And he's like standing right there. He's like, you guys, there's a timeout. Like, stop play. And we're like, wow. We couldn't even hear it. Couldn't hear the whistle.
No, it's true. I mean, I think we've all been in a lot of big games and been on great teams, but that playoff run and that championship is probably my favorite sports moment. Like, we couldn't hear each other on the bench. 6 inches from each other. We couldn't hear each other on the bench. It was so loud. Key Arena was like alive. And I don't know if anything could top that.
It was super loud. Yeah. But let's go back to game one. What about game one?
I was going to go to game two for you, but yeah.
Yeah, I want to clear the air on that shit anyway, so we could totally talk about game two.
Okay.
But game one, when we lost, I remember the night before at dinner, we were so ready. We're like, oh, we couldn't wait. We're ready. We're talking about how we're going to execute the game plan. And then the next night, we got stomped.
Did we?
I don't Connecticut? Game one in Connecticut?
Yeah,
we didn't got beat bad, yo. No, we got beat bad.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
How can you not remember?
Yeah.
Shake it off. Okay.
All I know is somebody is we did not use our foul to give. All I know is we did not use our foul to give and we still won that thing.
Yeah, game two. Well, that's what you're referencing.
Game two.
Yeah.
Remember? Remember that last play? Lindsey Whalen driving the baseline and you're like
let's rewind it. Let's go all the way back to the timeout and correct me if I'm wrong. Because I want you guys just to fill in, right? Timeout.
Yep.
We do have a foul to give. Ann says, as soon as the ball is inbound, foul right away. Boom, right? So when we come out the timeout, the ball gets inbound. I'm on the far weak side, right? I'm on the weak side. The inbounds is on the sideline by our bench. I'm on the other sideline, guarding sales. And in comes the ball to Lindsey. No foul. Or whoever came in. And then here comes the next person. No foul. And that person drives the baseline. I'm like thinking they're going to foul, but there's no foul. And then Keisha's open in the corner for the shot, right? She misses it. But I got so much crap about that.
Who was guarding sales?
I was.
Yeah.
And I thought my teammates, would foul like twice. We were supposed to foul right away. Boop, boop. And by that time, I'm like just I admit my wrong. I'm ball watching. I don't know where Keisha is. She could have been. I couldn't find. I didn't know where she was. But I knew when the pass went there, I knew she was in the corner, and I contested. And Keisha had been killing all night. I know Keisha. I played with Keisha. The fact that she hit the side of the backboard.
Yeah.
And she had been like swishing all night with me in her face.
Don't worry. We were all about the vomit when she got that ball to shoot us.
That was a scary moment, though. I'm not gonna lie, that was scary.
I remember that moment because do you remember? So my grandmother passed away in our finals run. Do you guys remember that?
Yep, Minnesota.
I remember watching that moment and like watching it in slow motion. I must have been like in the key somewhere, sort of looking at the ring, but I remember looking at her and seeing her wide open shooting the ball. And I was like, Nan, if you're there, just blow on it. Like, I remember thinking that. Like, this went through my head during the basketball game. And it's the weirdest thing because I'm not religious or spiritual whatsoever, but I swear to God, I in my mind, I was like, Nan, just do something, just breathe, just blow it away. And she hit the backboard.
Right. She took a deep breath and blew that. Thank you, Nana. Thank you.
Blew a gale.
Yeah. So. I remember that. That was tough. That was a really tough time for you because, you were super close to your Nan. I remember the Robbie Williams song that came out. That he wrote a song to his Nan that, we listened to and stuff. That was really bad.
Right.
Some
more adversity in that run.
Yeah, Nen came through, blowing on
she
that
really
ball.
She really did.
Man, game three was a given. We were not letting game three go, not in Key Arena.
I remember walking into that locker room after game two, because I had did like the radio. I remember walking in. It was just like, okay, did we just win? Because it was really quiet in there. I think we all still like in shock or something, because it wasn't like the celebrating locker room. We just were like quiet and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, none of us thought the next guest was going to actually be able to make this call. Sandy Brondello is the head coach of the Phoenix Mercury and Australian Opals, and she actually had an Opals meeting at the same time that we recorded. But of course, Sandy made it and gave us some insight into the WNBA season and upcoming Olympic Games.
Sandy Brondello! Yeah, I wasn't going to play. I really wasn't.
Look at all these people.
Sandy Brondello, what's up?
Hey, guys. Nice bodysuit, mate. We're just talking about that. Sorry, I really apologize. I was supposed to be here way longer, but I had an Opal staff meeting, and they always go over. You know what they're like, Loz.
Yeah, nah, forgot long time ago.
I think you should. I think you should wear your onesie while you're coaching. Throwback.
She looked good in it too. She looks great at the moment.
Go on, Brandelio.
I do not look great at the moment. That's a lie, Lauren Jackson. Mm-hmm. Not as good as Tully doing a little CrossFit. She's doing her thing.
Hey, I got to keep up with these young ones. Like, seriously, look, you got to keep active. That's the main thing. Got to stay young, got to keep active. But you remember 2003 when you, Loz, and I shared that penthouse suite?
No, you two did it. I had my own.
Oh, did you have your own? Oh, I had
it. It was you and me.
But you were there with us most of the time, so it felt like
this was just living with us. True story. I was.
Yeah. With a shardy in a hand.
Sauvignon Blanc, darling. Sauvignon Blanc.
Don't worry. You got me into that over when I was in Australia.
Let me tell you something, though. I haven't had a drink since February the 14th, and I've lost 12 kilos. Woo! I know, it's
alcohol,
amazing.
Alcohol, baby.
I know. Alcohol. Unbelievable.
Hey, that's excellent, mate. 12 kilos. Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I have not had a drink since February 14th. And I'm fortunate I haven't.
My 40th is coming up and I'm getting like afraid because I know that if I don't drink until my birthday, I'm going to have a really low tolerance and I'm going to, you know.
One pot steamer.
Yeah.
I've never
and you
seen
know
that
how
before.
I get after a couple of wines.
Sandy, we were reminiscing about the kangaroo and kiwi. Who was it that was holding the meat pie?
Sandy. The Australian. The Mapatezi.
Oh, mate. The Mapatezi. Yeah, it was. That's great stories. I think Moz is bloody holding it. No.
I think I was actually.
Or like, was it?
No, Loz was holding it. And it was like, can't you see the meat is dropping onto my chin? But
yeah, all you had to do was like pull away.
I tried, but you kept following me. It was like, what are you doing?
You had like a third-degree burn on your chin.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to need some context here. Like you were trying to force-feed her a meat pie is what I'm getting.
No, I don't know. Was it the media? Like what were we doing?
Yeah, all the Aussies just together.
Oh, no, we were just at the kangaroo pub one day. Something unusual for us to do.
Yeah, something very weird.
Yeah.
Not like us.
Loz is holding a meat pie and you took a bite. I mean, the thing just came out of the oven, which was like, what, 350 barrels?
Loz was probably trying to pull a beer at the same time and hold the pie. That's the problem. She was always behind the bar, not in front of it. Or she was in front of it as a lot too, but.
Yeah.
Cherie, Sam, I haven't seen you guys for a while.
No,
my old Miami Soul teammate.
Oh, no, baby. Come on.
Brandelio.
Miami Soul.
Oh, no, because you were Detroit and then Miami, right?
Yeah.
Now the cool team that just happened to not be able to be together the next year because we were been like spectacular. Like, we had it all, dude. We had talent, Ruth Raleigh. We had the number one pick.
We had three first-round picks.
Boom. Like,
oh, because you were an assistant. Yeah. I mean, like,
I was there too.
You were an assistant. You had a plan.
Best backcourt, Sandy and Sam, Brandelio for three.
Yep.
That was so cool. That was fun. Like, I enjoyed playing with you a lot.
Yeah. Elena Baranova. No.
Me too. We were good.
Elena Baranova, the Russian.
Oh, yeah.
What about the Russian? She was
Debbie Black, what happened baby, to Elena? You know, tap that floor. Indeed. Let's go.
Hey, Brandelio, congratulations on your Olympic coaching the national team. Yeah, that's awesome.
No, very honored. It is. I love it. Who would have thought? But no, it's great. So enjoying it. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
No,
no,
it's
been,
so, Sandy, we're going to put you in the hot spot right here. Hot spot. Phoenix Mercury. How we looking?
Oh, God. Now, here we go. What do we got now?
How we looking for the season?
Oh, look, we look good. Haven't you seen we got on paper? Diana looks fantastic. Sky. Kia Nurse, I mean, she could shoot rock. Brittany Griner, Brianna Turner.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a pretty tough starting five. And then, no, it's exciting. But look, the best thing is the league got so much better everywhere. It's so hard to even make a roster. You know, all these young kids coming in, there's only so many spots, and most only can have 11 because we all pay, you know, it's not enough money to go around. Yeah, no, I'm excited. I can't wait to get back on court. Love.
Who did you draft, Sandy?
Tiana.
I only had a 32nd pick. So we traded, all of them away. So to get Kia Nurse and Megan Walker, we traded this year and next year's first round. Okay. We're in the win mode now. Diana's
got to win now. You don't have time for a rookie, right?
We got to try and win now with the, you know, with Diana's, you know, last few years league and
big side.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. I think it's going to be, you know, the league. It's just all of them. I mean, New York. I mean, there's so much there and
Chicago
and even Seattle. All of them. Dallas. I mean,
you know what? Seattle picked up a good one from Indiana. Like Kennedy Burke.
Yeah, she's great.
They picked up a good one there in that trade for that.
Yeah, will she make the final roster though? That's what you gotta think about. Yeah. Like all these
Kennedy Burke.
Yep. You only got 11 spots. Go down Seattle's roster. You only got
Kennedy Burke. Kennedy Burke's gonna make that roster. Yeah.
She's good. Yeah. I'd take her on anytime. She's really good.
She's
tough.
Defender.
Size.
Yeah.
So you feel like
size, I get it, but
so who do you guys? I think I see Dallas. You guys are going for Dallas and Vegas. No, Phoenix. Come on, friends.
When did you drafted
nobody from Arizona. You don't
get in Arizona. I drafted someone from Texas A&M. Which draft were you watching?
No, I stopped after I had to go to bed. But
when does preseason start?
Sunday. Officially starts on Sunday. So, but all the players, because you know, a lot of them are still overseas. I still got five of my players are still overseas. But, you know, I had to try and I only bring 12 in for training camp and just trying to fill them in. Yeah, but they're all here now. The ones that start next Sunday, because you have to get this negative test before you can start training. So we're in our quarantine.
Do you make them run suicide, Sandy? Remember when you said
that? Mate, not fit by now. Boy, no.
What about 2 days?
Can you make them
run? I'm not a college coach.
Right.
No.
We don't have to do 2 days.
I've got players. You don't do 2 days. They come from college. They come from overseas. That's just going to kill them. Just be really quality over quantity.
Coaches are getting soft. They got it easy these days, don't they?
Mm-hmm. But they still go hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the thing is, we don't have practice guys, so they have to go against each other. So, I've got players that haven't played in the off season. So, you know, I've got to be really mindful of bringing them back. They haven't played, you know, since last year. So, you got to be smart, you know.
Yeah. Is that a league mandatory rule too about the practice guys?
The what, Tom?
Is that a league?
Training rule? Camp?
Training camp size? Practice guys. Yeah,
we're not allowed guys because we're getting tested every day. It becomes really expensive and we're in tiers, you know. So tier one and two are allowed in close proximity. You can't go and, you know, start testing your guys on the side. It's just so expensive. But
basically you won't, like, it'll be like soft practices throughout the season because you won't go hard against each other.
We will in training camp. But it'll be periodization. I mean, you have to, like, you know, you have to start, the first one's a medium, you have to go a little down, and then the third one can be high, and then you have a little bit of a lighter day, you know. You just got to, because otherwise, you know, the last 2 years, I've had at some stage during the career, 7 healthy players. And that was just, unfortunate injuries, not from overtraining them, it's just injuries that happen. So, you know, it's who stays the healthiest. I mean, who has the best chance of winning in the end. Obviously, you need quality players, but I think we all got really good teams. Now, who can get the most chemistry and stay the healthiest? So, knock on wood, come on.
It might be your turn this year. That'd be amazing. Hey.
That would be awesome.
I cannot cheer for Phoenix. I love you, Sandy, but.
Yeah.
Do you cheer for Phoenix?
I'm gonna cheer for. You know, I love you. Oh, if you were playing against anyone but Seattle, I would probably cheer for you. But you're in the West. Phoenix, I don't know if I even really like, I mean, we already established what happened to me in Phoenix, so I don't really have a good taste in my mouth for that city. No, but it's a good rival game. Hopefully I could catch a game in person. I'm going to try to catch you when you play Seattle.
Yeah.
TT, put that on the calendar.
That'd be great.
Okay. Just shoot me the info. But I think, obviously, Chicago are going to be a fun team to watch with the addition of the Australian PG, Sharla Hill.
Yeah.
How do you see her in that mix?
Sharla?
Yeah.
I think it's a great team for her to get drafted by. And, you know, obviously, my husband's also the assistant on that team. So kind of, you know. But, you know, and James, I spoke to James a lot. So, you know, I just had Nopal's camp with her. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's great. I think it's a great spot for her to be in to learn from Vandersloot. And I think her style of play suits their style. And I'm excited for her. I mean, she's young. She's going to get better and better with more experience that she gets. And going against the best, she's going to learn. But the biggest thing about Shyla, we talk about all her skill level, is she's fearless. For a 19-year-old, she's like this, you know, Lauren Jackson, you know.
A 16-year-old Lauren Jackson.
You know, didn't care, mate. She was, I mean, look at the way she played. I mean,
how old were you then? How old were you?
19.
She's 18. And she just smashed everybody. She was 18. Ridiculous. Care. No one, who plays like that when they're 18?
No, I made the Australian Australia.
Team. I made the Australian team at 18, but I sat on the bench.
I made it at like 35.
And you did so well, Tom. You were amazing.
And sat on the bench too. Yeah.
You got to start. So, Tal, you got these great memories. That's, you know, play your role well.
Okay, Sandy. I mean, I'm going to ask a question because you've played with both, and you're saying how Lauren was just an amazing player. And I'm about to ask you to compare two Australian greats, and you can't chicken out and say, well, they're in different positions. I don't know. If you had to pick one to be on your team, you going Timms or Jackson?
I'm going to sit back on this one.
That's disrespectful.
See, sure it's not. I set the course. I said they're both great players. And that's why I said I'm going to compare two Australian greats. You got to pick one to be on your team.
You want me to pick my all-star five? Let me pick my all-star.
Okay, I'll get you off the thing. Pick your all-star five.
Timms, Taylor, Jackson. I'd probably have to put Harrow in there, you know, because she'd have to be close. She's done really well. Yeah, hello, and then the four-man, you know, probably even, gosh, it's four-man, Susie Back or...
Oh, you four? Really?
You're my five. You're gonna play five. Oh, no, you're going with Cambage.
You're going with Backovich over Snell.
No, Liz Cambage, Lauren Jackson.
Can't put Liz on there. She didn't do nothing yet.
She's done heaps. Michelle Timms, and Christy Harrow. I think that's pretty tough. That's tough. But there's so many great ovals.
Everyone's won a gold medal, but Liz. I mean, she's a great player. I know she's the future, but what about Belinda Snell or
Snell is good, but you know, Liz is
who else
you know,
was on
Liz
that team? Who else was on that team? Come on,
Trish Fallon.
We've got a lot of great players that are.
We have a lot of great players. I mean, the list could go on and on and on.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
that's so many.
Yeah,
shout out to Michelle Timms. I love Michelle Timms. Yeah. I was a rookie in '96. Indeed. I met her, cool chick. Really cool chick.
Yeah.
Timsy was like the pioneer for the Australians.
I know that.
Into the WNBA. So, yeah, she kind of like got it all happening.
She's a great player. She was bad, man. That's why I said I put it to the fire.
Tal, can I just say something?
Of course.
I think you've got an American accent, mate.
Oh, shit. No.
Oh. No, mate,
seriously. All Midwestern.
Look, when you've lived here for so
many
years.
Say awesome.
Awesome.
Holy Midwest.
That's American, mate.
Razor blades.
How's that supposed to say? Like, razor blades.
that's how non-Australians can say it to get an Australian accent. It's like using razor blades. Razor blades. Kelsey, come on.
Razor blades.
That's very strange.
I have no Australian accent. What are you talking? Razor blade. Yeah, razor blade.
Razor blade.
Clearly, I have no Australian in me.
I feel like we need to have more of these because we can just like talk forever. Sandy, we were talking about earlier before how like no one gets to hear like players of the past stories because social media didn't really play a huge role in putting out, you know, stuff that we did back in the day. So it's pretty cool to kind of like hear our stories and share some stories and how much fun we had and our trials and tribulations and all of that. But I feel like we need to do more of these with us and our fellow has-been WNBA players. And I'm going to talk about the then and the now and how we can also still be included in making things better for the new generation.
I think it's good.
Just
for those new generations that don't know, Sandra Brondello was probably one of the top three shooters in the league.
One of the purest shooters,
Shooters, like it was milk money, cash it, drip, wet, going in.
The mid-range game.
I think you're being way too nice for me.
You were my teammate. No, Brondello, you were wet. I seriously.
Yeah. Sandy, you own the mid-range game. Like,
Go on left mid-range. That was me.
Yeah, but that pull-up jump shot of yours, like, you were unstoppable with that. I had to run around chasing your ass. In Australia,
I hated
in America,
playing
in
against Europe. You were the pestiest one. I hated you, Gardner. Hated it. If anyone, that was you. I was like, no way, I'm going to go against this one again. She's like a little hounding dog that never leaves your feet. Defensively, you were. And I'm being honest, I think I've said that in many things. It's like, who was the hardest person? Who was the hardest person for you to go against, you know, and it's someone that has enough speed. And the other person is Cheryl Swoot. So I will admit that too.
Yeah.
Because of her size and her athleticism. But Tully, everywhere you went, you had no space. So you couldn't even, you know, it made your life difficult. I mean, I'm sure we all had our, I don't know, Lauren, did you ever have anyone that was hard to play against?
Yeah, of course I did. Do you want me to name them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know.
Sylvia Fowles.
She was the beast, particularly as I got older.
I mean, look, the rivalry with Lisa, everyone's spoken about that. So, I mean, but, Delisha Melton.
Oh, yeah.
Delisha Melton was one every single time I hated playing against her because she was so physical. But, incredible human, beautiful person. It's basketball's funny, isn't it? Just how you sort of the rivalries and the way it all goes down.
Yeah. That's why it's so hard when someone says like who's your toughest opponent or who's just like there's multiple people for certain reasons. Like it's not just one person. Like there's, you know, Loz, I remember defending you out on the perimeter at times, you know, just with the defensive schemes that, you know, happened out there on the court.
I would just shot right over your head, honey.
Yeah. No, but do you remember? Yeah. I was in your grill. So,
you wouldn't even reach there, mate. You probably got up in your belly button. What are you talking about?
I just got a pokey in the belly button. That puts it off.
Actually, speaking of doing funny things on the defensive end, Chastity Melbourne, she used to pinch me.
She's on my staff. Did you know that? She's my assistant.
She's lovely. Yeah. I spoke to her and we joked about this not too long ago.
She's awesome.
Used to get me all, she used to pinch and I'd be like, oh my God, you're pinching me. I don't know if I'm gonna laugh or cry right now.
That's a Dawn Staley trick. Dawn Staley does that on the blog. When you post up Dawn, like
we're talking about,
when I used to post up Dawn, get a mixed match, she used to always pinch you. Like, must be a North Carolina thing going on over there, but
true. Yeah,
that's Kelsey's girl crazy. Right there. You got what to say about that?
Philly represent. Dawn's my girl.
She was my teammate in Charlotte. Love Dawn.
She's amazing. Yeah, she's done really well too. So, what about you, Sheree? Who was the hardest?
Nobody can guard me still until today, so I don't really know who's the hardest. To be honest, that's just. We're just going to compete. Like, who? I mean, They all tried. I mean, seriously. Now, for me to go, like, if I'm guarding someone the hardest, definitely Cooper, Cynthia Cooper, like, because her change of pace was just like, you thought you were there, then you were not. Swoops in transition. But Katie, because she just would try to, like, bulldoze you over.
Yeah.
It's very strong, but yeah, it was fun. Like, I just would compete. Like, I would never admit that any of them could ever guard me. So, but guarding Cynthia Cooper, like, that was just like hard.
Yeah. Hard. Yeah, she was hard. I mean, yeah, she's tough.
She was hard for everybody.
Yeah, she was hard.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the people I had to guard to in my position. They had the hard positions to guard back in the day. Coop, Swoops. Who else on the perimeter? Katie.
Yeah.
All those guys.
No, pretty good. That's good. I know.
That was
awesome.
Well, what about you, Sandy? What about you? Who did you have to guard on the perimeter? I'm forgetting players on that tube side.
Mate, I don't know. I used to try and take the weakest player on the court if I could.
On my team, you know, we used to switch off them screens.
You saved your energy.
I'd be like, going, okay, I'm taking the one that doesn't score as much as the other. So, Debbie, you got that guard. Sheree, you got that one. I'll take the other one.
That's where you end up with me all the time.
Then
they
stick her in the corner and just leave
it there. So, yeah. You come up clutch sometimes, CT. You knock down a couple that were.
You did.
Yeah.
Right.
See, yeah.
Don't underestimate. No. And look, everyone. I mean, it's just respect everyone. That's how I work. So it's like, okay.
Right.
Make sure you know the game plan, and hopefully that's good enough. So.
That's the beauty about basketball. That's the thing. But. We need to wrap this up. I know I have kids to put to bed.
We all got kids.
Yeah, we all got kids. They've been coming in my eye shot. I gotta get my kids ready for bed. This has meant a lot to me to just like catch up with you all. Like, we need to do this on a regular, and keep our stories floating around there. You know, because I think the new generation can actually learn a lot of stuff from us still. But yeah, it's been awesome. I've loved it. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on.
One thing they can do, they can still learn how to rock a bodysuit, mate, because you still got it.
Nobody can rock a bodysuit like you told me.
Fashion show for the Opal's Pull.
Yeah. The bodysuit is back.
Yeah. Baggy, I was talking about the Nancy Gantz G-string, you know, the one that used to suck in my belly. about how, you know, like, yeah.
You had all I'm the sure stories. I missed a lot. Man, sorry, I missed the first, how long did I miss? I had some good stories, I'm sure. Hour.
I'm confused by that story. I did not hear that.
No, I used to wear, like, this corset G-string thing under my bodysuit because I used to think that, I was very insecure about my body G-string in a bodysuit. So, yeah, and I was saying how I've never had to wear my Nancy Gantz G-string ever again, which makes me happy.
I know. She would she'd get dressed and I'm like, what are you wearing? I gotta tuck it all in. I gotta look good. I'm like, you look great.
You play with that?
Yeah, I did. And that's why I'm like, you know, the way I am when people bring up bodysuits, I'm like, oh, you know, like I used to put on 3 bras and, you know, 2 G strings and a bloody corset.
And go out and knock down 40.
Right, and still go out and knock down 40. That's the part right there.
I couldn't breathe, but I tried. You know, like other than that,
that's superior conditioning. Here, you gotta be able to do that.
Then she was fully ready for post game too. You know, she's ready for the after party.
I've never wanted to do
that. She's good. You're amazing. Wow. I do that. We had some funny stories over the years, real funny stories with all of you. So great to reminisce. It really is. And it's a small world. It's always, I'm like, Sheree, I haven't seen you for a while, but it feels
so
like yesterday.
Long. Yeah. I know, right? Awesome. It is. Yeah, it's awesome to see you.
You
conversate.
Too.
Yeah. Absolutely. So TT and Lauren and Brecky, Kelsey, yeah. Thanks for putting this together. Like for real. Hey. Let's blessing the day.
Yeah. Let's get back together again at some stage, hopefully in person. But Sandy, good luck. If we don't talk to you before the season, good luck for the season. Good luck for the Olympics. Oi, oi, oi. Let's go to Aussie.
Go, I balls, go, Mark.
Oi, oi.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes. Make sure you cut this. Cut all the bad stuff out.
Have you got
cut
it?
The bad stuff out.
Yes.
All of it.
Please, especially, you know, the part that you have to cut that.
Yeah, no, it's all out. Yeah. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Actually, anything.
Any references to sex?
You got to do that, yeah. Be really smart with that. Cut some stuff out. I'll be texting you after this, Tully. What did I say? What did I say?
You didn't say anything. We said it.
No,
well.
You. The bombs dropped before you came on air.
Oh, well, you guys share that with me. I want to make sure I, you know, missed it all out.
Sandy gets the unedited cut. Oh, like five passwords. Hey.
But we are the has-beens of the W, and we rock.
appreciate it. Love you. It's great to see
you. You guys rock. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Cherie Sam, Jenny Busick, and Sandy Brondello for joining Laid Back with LJ and Tully. This podcast was produced by Kelsey Trainer and Mariah Keener. The podcast was edited by Mariah Keener. Music for the podcast was provided by Mariah Keener.